Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Managing Projects by Harvard Business Review. Narrated by James Edward Thomas. Publisher's note. This audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material.
The basics. To begin with, let's talk about what a project is and what project management is all about. As you'll see, every project can be broken down into four phases: planning, build-up, implementation, and closeout, which makes the whole enterprise a lot easier to get your mind around. You're likely to encounter bumps along the way, so we'll also touch on how to handle the most common problems. What constitutes a project? A project is a good-sized task that someone wants done. Unlike a process, it has a beginning, middle, and end. Building a house is a project. So is launching a new product or developing a new marketing campaign. Some companies are project-based. That's all they do. Think of construction and engineering firms, custom manufacturers, advertising agencies, and so on. Other businesses rely on processes for their everyday operations, launching a project only when they want to make a change or undertake something new. For example, a healthcare center might sponsor a project to redesign its patient intake procedures. Whatever the context, the word project usually refers to a well-defined task involving a group of people working together. Projects can last any amount of time, but most take somewhere between a month and a year to complete. What project management involves. Every project needs someone in charge. Big projects, such as constructing a power plant, are led by professional project managers. Smaller ones, such as creating a marketing brochure for a new pharmaceutical, tend to be run by people who must add the project to their regular work. Regardless of job size, the buck stops with these project managers. They must see the project through from start to finish. They draw up the plan, assemble the team, decide how to allocate resources, schedule the work, watch the budget, solve problems, and do a lot of other things as well. It can be a big responsibility, even when the project is modest in scope. What's more, project managers often find themselves working with a team of volunteers, colleagues who have regular assignments and supervisors, but who have agreed to contribute time to the project. When that's the case, the project managers rarely have direct authority over their team members, so they must get people working together effectively without giving orders. In short, project management requires organizational skills, financial skills, and people skills. Fortunately, you can learn all these skills through study and experience. This book will help you get started. The four phases of every project. What do designing a car, developing a website, moving a company, cleaning up a disaster site, and updating an information system have in common? They're all projects, and they all go through the same four phases. Planning. In this initial phase, you define the problem and identify the stakeholders. That is, everybody who has a vested interest in the project. You also map out your goals and determine what you'll need to accomplish them. Build-up. This is when you assemble your team, plan the individual tasks, develop a schedule and a budget, and hold your kickoff meeting. Implementation. Now the project is underway. People are busy working on their assigned tasks. You're holding regular meetings, monitoring the schedule and the budget, and preparing regular reports. Oh yes, you're also resolving the many unexpected issues that inevitably pop up. Closeout. The project is complete. Your job is to hand it off to whoever will be responsible for the final product or the new process. You review the team's accomplishments and lessons learned, and you prepare a final report. Each phase has its own set of goals, activities, tools, and skills. As a project manager, you'll articulate the goals, prepare your team to carry out the activities, and use each set of tools and skills as needed. See Table 1. Even though each phase is different, you'll find yourself returning to tasks from earlier phases. For example, you typically begin the planning phase with a ballpark figure for your budget and an estimated completion date for the project. Once you're in the build-up phase, you begin to define the details of the project plan. These details give you new information, so you revise the budget and schedule accordingly. This doesn't mean you're moving backward. You're just incorporating what you've learned into the overall plan. You're seeing more of the big picture with each step you take. Planning your project. The first phase in managing a project is to make an overall plan. Usually, this involves just 5 steps. 1. Define the real problem. 2. Identify your stakeholders. 3. Set the project's goals. 4. Prepare for trade-offs. 5. Spell out the tasks. We'll look at each one in turn. Define the real problem. Too often, project managers leap to the solution before they completely understand what they are trying to solve. As a result, they miss the mark and disappoint their stakeholders. That's why defining the problem is such a critical step. Imagine you're an IT manager, for example, and you've been asked to lead a team developing a new database and data entry system. It would be tempting to jump right in, relying on your own assumptions about what the system should include. But will that solve your company's problem? First, you'll want to find out what your supervisors are trying to fix. Maybe they can't get data out of the system fast enough. Maybe they can't find all the information they require in one place. Before designing the new system, you need to know what outputs people are looking for, how they will use these outputs, how soon they must have the redesign, and so on. Unless you understand the underlying problem, you risk designing a solution that doesn't do what users need, or one that does far more than required. Either way, you're wasting time and money. To focus your efforts, answer these questions. What issue do people think this project will address? Why do they see this as a problem that needs solving? Who has a stake in the solution or outcome? Do all stakeholders have the same goal, or do their goals differ? What criteria will people use to judge this project's success? The wrong tool for the job. Sometimes a project request is just wrong-headed, as in the following fictional scenario. When Un's boss sees the slump in quarterly revenues, he reacts immediately. We need a new incentive plan ASAP. He always talks like that, wanting things ASAP and last week. He asks Un to launch a project to develop the plan. As an up-and-coming HR manager for a mid-sized hotel chain, Un is excited to lead her first company-wide project. But she knows that incentives aren't the problem. Most employees want to do a good job and serve customers well. But the hotel's processes and systems keep getting in the way. The company never puts enough time into training new recruits, and it shows. There are also problems with the registration system. How can Un tell her boss that a new incentive plan isn't the answer? She doesn't want to question the project's merits because this is a big opportunity for her. But she doesn't want to set herself up to fail. Un must help her boss clarify the project's goals. Given his ready-fire-aim style, she'll have to act quickly. For example, she might say to him, "I'm assuming that at the end of this project, what you really want is a strategy for increasing revenue. Is that right?" Once he agrees on the desired outcome, Un can investigate what's causing the problem. Perhaps the registration and checkout system is cumbersome and generates customer complaints even when used properly. Perhaps the finance office reports an increased number of uncollectible bills stemming from inaccurate data entry. Un can then bring those problems to her boss's attention before anybody invests time and money in an ill-conceived project. She might even propose a new project to address one of the real issues. Identify your stakeholders. Your boss, other managers, customers, team members, the finance department, all these individuals or groups can be stakeholders. They're the ones who will ultimately judge the project's success or failure. To identify your stakeholders, answer these questions. Which functions or people will the project's activities or outcomes affect? Who will contribute resources, people, space, time, tools, and money to the project? Who will use and benefit from the project's output? Then have your stakeholders sign off on what they expect from the project and what resources they'll provide. Because stakeholders' interests vary, their definitions of success are likely to differ. You'll need to meld their expectations into a coherent, manageable set of goals. The list of stakeholders can change in the middle of a project. A regulator or a new customer representative may show up. An executive in another unit may learn of the project and have ideas of her own about what it should accomplish. If so, respond to her requests and concerns, but include all other stakeholders in any decision to redirect the project. Whether you're managing a project in a corporation or working as an independent consultant for a client, it's essential to have the support of the people you answer to. Though every stakeholder matters, the person who assigned or hired you to be project manager is typically the first among equals. Clients and internal project sponsors, or their bosses, sometimes have an unrealistic view of what can be accomplished, by when, and for how much. Usually, a little negotiating will help bring their requirements in line with the available resources. In some organizations, however, setting unrealistic goals seems to be standard operating procedure. A project manager who repeatedly faces this situation must eventually decide whether it's worth the effort. There's always a point at which you should cut your losses and get out, decline the assignment, ask to be transferred to another area of the company, or even look for another job. It's important to feel confident that the project you are embarking on has a reasonable chance of success. Set the project's goals. Any project's success is determined by how well it meets its goals. The more explicitly you state them at the outset, the less people will disagree at the end about whether you have met them. In the planning phase, however, much is still in flux. Be prepared to revise your goals as you gather more information about what you need to achieve. In defining goals, think SMART. They should be specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, time-limited. Here's an example. Over the next 4 months, the Healthcare Benefits Task Force of United Products HR Department will come up with a new benefits plan. Its SMART goals are 1. Identify and survey, action-oriented, at least 6 measurable providers that meet the department's minimum criteria for service quality. 2. Recommend, action-oriented, at the June Board of Directors meeting, time-limited. The 3. Specific, providers that offer the best and broadest coverage at a cost that is at least 10%, realistic, less than the company's current per-employee contribution. Keep in mind the following factors as you set your goals. Quality. Establish the project's quality standards and determine how to measure and satisfy them. Organization. Make sure you have access to the people you need. Ultimately, your team must help you achieve your goals. Communication. Determine with your stakeholders what information they need and how best to deliver it. Keeping stakeholders informed is always important. Risk. Identify the most likely risks and evaluate possible responses. Once you have sketched out your goals, discuss them with the person who asked you to undertake the project. Don't shrink from agreeing to ambitious goals. Just make sure you'll get the time, people, and money necessary to reach those goals. The success of the initiative is quantified with measurable goals. In those goals, I highlight the ways in which the support of executive management is required for success of the project. If there isn't executive sponsorship, there are times when we won't take the job. Beth Chapman, Engagement Manager. Prepare for trade-offs. Scope, schedule, and budget are the three related variables that most often determine what you can achieve. The basic formula is scope equals schedule plus budget. If you change one of these variables, you'll have to change at least one of the others. For instance, say your time frame for developing a new database management system is suddenly cut in half. Now, you must either employ a lot more people, increasing the budget, or deliver a system with fewer features than planned, reducing the scope. Most trade-offs aren't so dramatic. They happen frequently in the ordinary course of a project. In software projects, lead designers usually work directly with end users to discuss functionality, budget, and timelines. In construction, architects and engineers meet regularly with customers to discuss possible new features and their implications for the schedule and the budget. Remember that a less ambitious or even lower quality product is not necessarily a bad thing. The key is to establish a level of quality or functionality that meets the needs of the end users and fits the budget and scheduling requirements. Knowing from the start which of these three variables is most important to each stakeholder will help you make appropriate trade-offs. It's give and take. Everybody understands budgeting. They will be willing to give up functionality in exchange for a reduced budget or speedier delivery. They have a feel for what they have to sacrifice to get something else. Wishful thinking should be suppressed. Susanna Ehrlich, Software Development Project Manager. Often you will spot trade-offs long before your stakeholders do. When that happens, it's your responsibility to inform them of any changes you'd like to make in the project's scope, schedule, or budget, and then to negotiate a satisfactory solution. Spell out the tasks. Many projects fail. They don't get the hoped-for results, or they come in way over budget or way past deadline. Often the roots of failure lie in the planning stage. The project manager overlooked a significant part of the necessary work, for example, or grossly underestimated the time and money required. One tool that can help you avoid such unfortunate outcomes is a work breakdown structure, or WBS. Work Breakdown Structure, Sample Planning Document. Develop a Work Breakdown Structure, WBS, to ensure that you do not overlook a significant part of a complex activity or underestimate the time and money needed to complete the work. Use multiple pages as needed. Describe the overall project. The overall project will migrate three web servers and two databases to a new physical data center. The project requires that 5 new servers be provisioned in the new data center. These servers will mirror the production servers existing in the old data center. The new servers will be built to the same specifications as the old ones. They will run the same applications and have the same content. Once implemented, the new equipment will be tested to confirm functionality. The sites will have a cutover and go-live date. Finally, the old equipment will be decommissioned and reabsorbed into inventory. Major task: obtain equipment. Level 1 subtasks: purchase 3 web servers and 2 databases. Ship equipment to new data center. Level 2 subtasks: cut PO and order servers. Alert data center that equipment is slated for arrival. Subtask duration: 7 days. Major task: provision and implement equipment. Level 1 subtasks: physically install hardware. Load operating systems. Load applications. Mirror content to new servers. Level 2 subtasks: rack and cable new equipment in data center and ensure physical and network connectivity. Load base level operating systems for web and database servers. Load application level software, including web server software, database applications, and any required dependencies. Copy configurations from production sites. Transfer to new servers and load appropriately. Subtask duration: 8 days. Major task: test equipment. Level 1 subtasks: test machines. Level 2 subtasks: ensure network connectivity, as well as web and database access functionality and integrity. Subtask duration: 2 days. Major task: go live with new equipment. Level 1 subtasks: cut over to new production site. Check data and content integrity. Level 2 subtasks: switch web and database access to new sites. Run a series of predetermined tests to ensure that data is accurate and that any updates since mirroring have been captured and applied as necessary. Subtask duration: 2 days. Major task: test again. Level 1 subtasks: let sites burn in for 24 hours and check integrity once again. Level 2 subtasks: run series of tests once more to ensure that updates and logging are functioning correctly. Subtask duration: 1 day. Major task: decommission old equipment. Level 1 subtasks: remove equipment from data center. Reabsorb equipment for future use. Level 2 subtasks: deinstall equipment. Erase software and content. Ship equipment back to inventory. Subtask duration: 2 days. A WBS shows the scope of project work. You use it to develop estimates, assign personnel to tasks, and track progress. The underlying idea is to subdivide each complex activity into the smallest units possible to make the work more manageable. It isn't hard to create a WBS. You just ask what must be done to accomplish each major task in the project. Keep asking this question until you've broken everything down into components or tasks that you don't want to subdivide further. Estimate how long it will take to complete each of these smaller tasks and how much each will cost in dollars and person hours. As a rule, you'll stop subdividing tasks when you reach the point where the work will take the smallest unit of time you want to schedule. If you want to schedule to the nearest day, for instance, break down the work into tasks that take at least a day to perform. A WBS typically consists of 3 to 6 levels of subdivided activities. The more complex the project, the more levels it will have. Generally speaking, no project should have more than 20 levels, and only an enormous project would have that many. Estimating the duration of a task isn't always simple or straightforward, but you'll get better at it as you gain experience. In the meantime, base your estimates on the average expected time to perform a task, not on hopes or prayers. Don't allow them to become firm commitments at this stage. When you talk to stakeholders about your estimates, share all the assumptions and risks that you've built into them. Here in the planning phase, don't worry too much about the sequence of activities. You'll take care of scheduling later in the build-up phase. For now, use the WBS to create the framework you'll fill in once you have a better sense of your staff, budget, and time constraints. Padding your estimates is sometimes an acceptable way to reduce risk. If you take that route, however, do it openly and tell your stakeholders why. For example, you may base an estimate on receiving certain products within a 2-week window. Make that expectation clear. Explain what the costs of a late arrival would be, and add those to your estimate if you think it's a likely risk. Thoughtful planning yields a rough estimate of how many people and what skills you'll need. You'll also have a good idea of how long the project will take. The plan is the foundation for the build-up phase, which we'll cover next. Building up your project. With your plan in place, it's time to get the project underway. In the build-up phase, you'll follow these steps. 1. Assemble your team. 2. Set the schedule. 3. Develop a budget. As in the previous chapter, we'll explore each step individually. Assemble your team. Now that you've used the work breakdown structure to estimate the required activities and tasks, you can begin recruiting people who have the skills you need. Since you want a phenomenal team, not an ordinary one, try hard to get the best people you can. If you can't find them in your own organization, investigate the possibility of bringing them in from somewhere else. It's often more productive to import a great team member from another department, or even outside the company, than to rely on a mediocre contributor from the next cubicle. Of course, project managers don't always get to choose their people. If your team has been assigned to you, you will need to assess members' skills and compare them with the skills you need for the project. You may decide to provide training or hire an outside expert to fill some gaps. If so, factor the additional money and time into your budget and schedule. Picking a good team is about picking qualified people who like working in a group. And I like giving people chances, breaking them into new jobs. I see the potential in the people and help them move up the ladder. A lot of people in my position see the potential, but they don't want to take the risk. But I'm willing to. Jennifer Sargent, film and video producer. Companies often create cross-functional teams, which consist of individuals from different departments or organizations. Leading a group like that can be tough, especially when members haven't worked together before. As the project manager, you're responsible for integrating their efforts. But your team members must understand how to manage their own parts of the project, and they must all be willing to work as a group. Herding cats. How hard can it be to lead a project team? Consider the following fictional but all too common scenario. When Brett first launched the PR campaign for his company's new product line, he loved the creative energy in the air. But now, a month into the project, that electricity has turned to static. Kelly and Joe are designing speeches and press briefings that don't seem to fit together. They keep asking Brett for lists of speakers. When he says they should line up the speakers themselves, they complain that they have too much other work to do. Meanwhile, the marketing people are demanding information that Brett...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?